Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Great, aren't
they? I mean, I always seem to be able to.
It's a Blossom Podcast.
Going straight
in.
Not in a pub. Hello, everyone.
Good afternoon.
That was the most pleasant intro for quite some time.
Oh, so nice, that one.
Really nice. I looked around and like, took a breath in to do that.
I was like, please.
God.
Oh, spoiled it.
How is everyone?
Good.
All right.
There seems to be more of a positive aura today, doesn't there?
Because it was my birthday yesterday.
Because it was Josh's birthday yesterday.
Do you know what? I had a bit of
How was your vaccine, mate? All right.
Josh is 56, so he's allowed it, wasn't he? But no, I had a bit of a lull like this week. Where I was just been walking a lot and stuff, and I'd like, be at home, and I was like, I had to make really force myself to do it. Do you know what I mean?
What, go out?
Yeah, do you know when you just have like them lazy...
Lazy days.
Lazy days, but it seemed to be like a bit of a lazy week.
Is it Monday today?
Today's so. Monday,
yeah.
Monday. Comes one.
Is it Monday?
I quite today's
Monday,
last
yeah,
week.
Yeah.
You know. Monday, Montag. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Mine and Geburtstag is active. So it's just an April.
Do you know, I've found myself setting alarms on weekends now.
Yeah, I do that.
9:30 on the weekend, 9:30 in the week. It's not really a...
I like the way you tried to make it. Same, yeah. You tried to make it, but I
was trying to think of a lie of what time I got up in the week, so people are like, that's not early.
No, I do.
It's better though, isn't it? Because you only have like a big lie and then you fucking fuck your week up, you can't get up.
I do the same thing, Mark. I do a big... I do 9:30. And you usually get up before, Pep usually wakes up before, but it's just like it's there.
Yeah, I've started waking up before my alarm now, which is around 9:30. I'll sometimes wake up at like 9:15 and I'm just like, oh, well.
Pleasant.
It's nice to actually wake up.
Yeah, I wake up and get a wardrobe coffee, Mum.
Lame.
I'm in like an 8:15, 8:30 these days.
Yeah, you're quite...
That's a man of exercise, that.
Trying to be good. I mean, I've had a bad weekend.
Bad, yeah.
Just like...
Oh, on the booze.
Just booze and fucking meat.
Booze and meat.
Booze and shaggy
the name
meat.
Of the podcast, isn't it?
So does it make you... I haven't had meat in a while. What? Is it just bloating? Is it in you for days?
Not really. It's just nice. I think just when you're aware you've been...
I keep getting these like fillet steaks from the butchers and they're fucking so nice.
Nice.
Nice. Nice.
Anyone else been up to anything on the weekend or...
I bumped into Charlie on our local walk.
Oh yeah, you did. Happy Valley.
Yeah, was a strange one, wasn't it?
Mm.
I think you were just saying, weren't you? Joe walked.
You know what you failed to tell me as well?
Go on.
You were knocked over by a pointer, weren't you, the previous week?
Oh, by Fingy?
The pointer party.
Fucking, did not tell anyone about this?
What were they pointing at?
I thought I meant... No, a dog.
Cheers.
Means fear in the park and a dog like, knocked me over and I fell over.
Really?
Yeah, it was funny. I was laughing, like rolling on the floor, crying, laughing.
Were you just like...
I can't remember if it was Pep that knocked me over or the other dog.
Did you just lose your balance? Is that what it was?
No, fully took my legs out.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, like, so it was like
and Pep got him out and they all got giddy and they were like fucking running everywhere. And then, I don't know if it was Pep or the other dog. I can't remember which one hit me.
He's quite bolshy, isn't he, Bobby? He's only 8 months old, but he's massive.
Fucking, how do you know his name? What's this about?
No, I'm friends with his
owner.
Oh, right,
okay. You know what I mean? I was pissing myself, though. They were like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, I think it was Pep, to be fair, but yeah, it made me laugh. And Sophia said it was tragic.
You know,
keeps taking the piss out of me about it.
Yeah, your dogs, your family's dogs. When you could go around, you knock on the answer. So it's not your mum or your dad. It's the dog that's like, blah, and they come and jump all over you.
I don't want my mum and dad to be jumping all over you. Miles.
Hey, I don't want them. I don't want anyone to jump on me, son. I'm just saying. You know, dogs are big, and they get you, don't they?
That's dogs, though, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? But the other thing, they're chilled, aren't they? After like 10 minutes.
Once
I never used to be a dog person. Converted over.
You're a changed
past
man.
5 years.
Yeah, my man loves George now, don't you?
Me and George are tight.
What do you think of Pep?
I like Pep. I like him all.
It's a good geezer, isn't he, Pep?
He's mellowed a lot, hasn't he, over the last year or so. Now he's had his bollocks chopped off.
He's not. He's been all right. He was obsessed with George.
No,
George,
he has. George he's defo chilled out a bit.
No, but he was like that at home all the time.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. Around the other dogs, he's chilled out.
But he was only George. Even Dennis, do you know what I mean? Dennis, he was chilled.
He just licked his ears, didn't he?
But George has got something, hasn't he? When we took George out, when
all the time, dogs are just attracted to him.
I don't know what it is.
Maybe he has a, he's got like a scent.
I think Brody's like that with George, though, isn't he?
Brody, yeah.
He loves George and he licks him, tries to hump him. We had that when we was on the walk, or when we bumped into each other, me and Chaz. There was a dog with its dick out humping Brody's head. Brody's yeah. just stuck.
With its dick
out. Right, let's go into a section. Has anyone got any funny stories first that happened this week?
I've got one.
Here we go.
It was just a bit mad.
Right.
So, obviously, I drank Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
My guy.
So, Friday night. But the Stella. Thing is, this is what... Yeah, but I wasn't that pissed on the Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of them. This made me look like I was fucking wasted.
Right.
So, I probably had 4 pints, which is enough to get you going, innit?
It's a nice 4 pint cans
of Stella.
That's a night for Miles.
That's A&E for me.
But it's not like what happened, basically. So, basically, was going to... You know, your house has been a bit cold recently, as anyone else's, you know, because the weather's changed. Yeah. Yeah. It takes ages to warm your house up.
Chilly,
and we forgot to put the heating on after we'd had tea.
The mansion, that.
So we wanted to watch a film in the front room, and it wasn't warm. So Kate was like, should we just get in bed? But we were still drinking. So she was like, we'll just carry on drinking in bed. And
fucking
just watch,
me every fucking weekend.
Watch a film. So we set it up. We say, I'm on like my fifth pint.
Yeah.
Katie's on the gin.
This is where you need a fucking wood stove.
We did, yeah. My man
stokes that up. Fucking cozy.
We're in bed setting the film up and we started watching it. But Kate was on a phone as well, like doing something else. And I think she's actually, you know, we talked about TikTok. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's got TikTok. So she was
fucking
going through
it. It's a world, man.
She was going through these daft videos and she showed me one. Because of what happened, I can't actually remember what it was, but I fucking was pissing myself. Like, you know, when I really laughed,
yeah.
It really got me and I was wheezing like fuck, right? And I was just sick all over myself. But it was like...
What the fuck?
No, but I couldn't stop.
And you're laughing Kate, so hard you were
yeah,
sick.
Yeah, but I just sat there. Kate was like, go to the toilet. And I was just going... I was just going...
My God.
All over myself. No, like coughing, like... Bleh, and it was like shooting out. It was all over my T-shirt.
Was it like in between us?
It was tragic. Oh, I was sat up in bed like that, just going, sick all over myself.
So it wasn't the beers, it was just like...
It was a mixture, obviously, because I've been drinking and I'd had like burgers for tea.
I've done it the same before, you know.
I just had a coughing fit and it basically made
Pep
me sick.
Pep did something similar the other day at the walk. He had loads of treats and then started digging, like dead fast digging on the floor. And then, like, because he was digging, like, doing it loads and like made himself black and just went bam, was just sick in the hole.
It was angry.
I turned over in bed the other day and was sick in my mouth. Yeah, I just turned over like that.
That's an exercise for myself.
I just turned over like that. There.
Acid reflux.
No, and then this is when it got worse because obviously I was fucking hell. It had gone on the bed sheets and that. So I had to. Half 11 at night.
Oh, that's annoying.
Inconvenient time
to
do that.
Yeah, like 11 o'clock somewhere. So we had to strip the bed sheets. Obviously, I've got sick all over me.
I bet Katie was fuming.
She was laughing.
What was the consistency? Was it liquid fucking beer?
It was food.
That's the worst one, that. Jesus.
But it was like I was choking. It was quite worrying at one point. I was like... just kept coming out. No, but then, obviously, I'd left the pint on the side because I barely touched this pint.
Yeah.
So I had it on the dressing table. Was it a dressing table? It's like a table.
Bedside table.
Yeah, bedside table. And we've got like a glass top on the bedside table, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's not actually cash.
No, I'm definitely joking.
It's like, do you know what I mean? It's like there's like a glass sheet, if that makes sense, on the top. Don't know why it's there. It's like decorative.
Yeah, it's like
but it moves
it's
about.
It's to protect the wood.
Right, yeah, to protect the wood.
Fucking.
And obviously, Katie was changing the bed sheets, right? She flips the bed. And the pint knocked the pint and it went poof
and it shattered.
And it couldn't have shattered into a million more pieces.
No.
That's why it's sick all over.
No.
So the glass went everywhere.
Oh, no.
You know, you're just trying to.
George is running about everywhere.
No. And we're like, George, stay over there. And literally, the carpet was just shards of glass.
No.
So no. I'm scared of glass.
Honestly, it was
so it's not
glass.
Breaking bad.
No, but I'm scared of glass.
So I had to sweep it all up, then get the. Do you know what I mean? I was sick in my hair. It was tragic.
At least it was from a humorous.
It was
place.
Funny by this point, but then obviously Kate would go, you're fucking bladdered, and I was like, no, I'm not. But then it makes you seem more fucked,
yeah,
doesn't
I know
it?
What you mean.
When you become aware of yourself.
Sometimes when that stuff happens, you feel more bladdered.
That's
being
what I'm
sick
yeah.
in bed, I'm not bladdered. Fucking obviously.
No, I obviously was more
God, pissed what, up. What fight was it when someone came in, was sick outside, came in and just picked up the pint and started...
My uncle
just fucking went outside with six. You had so much to drink, came in, just cracked open another can.
It was just that.
It was just Stoke.
Me and you were having it.
It was Stoke, wasn't it?
I think it was. Yeah.
Do you know, there's some fucking hell. Being sick, it just obviously goes hand in hand. I've been sick in my bed before, and it was one of the first nights I ever drank. I was at my mate's house, James Askell's house, and he was the first guy to have like a house. I was 15.
Cross purposes.
And I had a Halloween it was. No fancy dress. Not back until the end. I basically drank a litre of vodka at 15.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And I was writing out lyrics on like a sheet. And dead lame, like ripping them up. And that was the night where I ripped my shirt off and started eating my sleeve. I told you about this before, didn't I?
I don't know.
Long story short, yeah, fucking did that. I was basically just being a fucking idiot. You know, you get like kids who drink.
You were that guy in school and stuff, though, weren't you?
I was the guy who was just always too far. Then anyway, I went home. I was in bed, and it was just like in between his projectile food vomit all over the bed. I went back to sleep. I went back to sleep.
That
with
does
it.
Not surprise me.
And my mum came in and was like, what's happened?
When I lived at my mum and dad's house, I've woke up in the morning just to like a pile of sick next to me. I've just lent out the bed and just...
I used to do it into my shoes next to my bed.
I've been sick once from drinking.
Wow.
Once.
I never have.
Last time I was sick was last
Been
year.
Sick. I've got anxiety now just talking about sick.
Yeah, last year.
Sick's fine.
Yeah.
Shit is bad.
No, were you sick not long ago?
Yeah, it was last year.
In the vest.
We'll get to that. So when everywhere opened up after lockdown last year, you could have like, what was it, the rule of six. And there's this Welsh guy there who was like, he used to work in a cocktail bar, so he was like feeding me Negronis all night. Manhattans, you name Walking it.
Boss as well.
And I was in this conservatory, the tunes were on. I was in a good place, you know what I mean? And my girlfriend was next to me, she was having a little smooch and stuff.
Do you know what? That vibe where you're in a good place, boss drinks on tap.
The conversation, when it becomes like almost, you can't distinguish what people are saying.
Oh, yeah.
Noise.
And then you stand up.
And then, because someone was playing the records, Simon and Garfunkel's Bridge Over Troubled Water came on, which is a very somber song, isn't it? And then that just
great tune for a party.
That literally tipped me over the edge. So I just turned my head.
Quite Chaz DJ said that.
As if I was hugging my girlfriend and spewed up all down her back and all over myself. And then she realised straight away. Think clock on, dragged me outside, pulled my jacket off and ushered everyone into the kitchen so no one knew about it.
Fucking hell.
Then I was in the middle of Bramall Lane with all tomato and fucking you name it.
Was
down
it in there. Her hair and stuff?
Everywhere.
Oh, fucking hell.
She was like, you're pissed up. You're going home. I was like, there's nothing fucking wrong with me.
Fucking sick down it. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with me. I remember making Joe like when we was young. I was about six or something. I was about eight.
Pissed up when you were six?
No, about eight to ten. Joe Light, like my old mate, he used to take photos of us and stuff. Then he'd been on the road a few times.
I remember him.
Same for the podcast reason, but he slept over at mine and we're eating our breakfast. I said something and made him laugh, and he laughed and was sicked up Cheerios because I made him laugh, like similar to you. But it just went straight back in his bowl. And the first thing he looked at me, he looked at me and went, don't tell your mum. Because we were dead young. Do you remember Chaz was sick in a lift once and we were waiting for it? We told that story. Same one where he was leaning over and
no, this was London.
The lift doors opened
near the Scala.
Chaz just stood there in the pool of his sick and he went, help me, and I had to walk away. I had to walk away because the smell and stuff. And then in the morning Chaz was dead pissed. I was like, I could have killed myself.
I could have choked.
No, you're sick all over the bathroom as well.
No, that was London.
One
the same time.
I think it was Bournemouth or Southampton.
Yeah, there's been plenty.
The Scala was where I went in the bathroom and saw like the towel black. He's on the Guinness, wasn't he? The towel was black, and it was like that
sketch. We have talked about it.
Yeah, Wolf Wall Street, where he's like, goes back in the car's perfect, and he's like, I can't believe he did that. Must be like Chaz, like, he must have thought, the bathroom's tidy as fuck out in there. Just like sick smeared everywhere. Fucking angry. I think I went to your room, Josh, you know, that night.
Where was this again? London?
Yeah, I think I didn't stay with you. I was like, I can't have it. I took my toothbrush and fucked off.
Listen to that one when you're editing.
So yeah, anything else funny happened this week, Josh? Any cool last stories,
well,
bro?
Well, I've got a couple that could, since it's my birthday, I thought I could do some negative comments. Negative YouTube comment of the week. Why do you hate us?
Birthday comment. Well,
so I turned 46 yesterday.
No, I'm the rest.
I turned 24 yesterday. Believe it or not, and I just thought I'd so the you guys kindly did a little Instagram post for me on the band social thing, or someone did.
I've deleted all the stuff.
Yeah, I don't know about it.
It was fucking one of yours.
It was me.
Right, go on.
And
happy birthday, Josh, spelled wrong. And obviously, you can tell it was me.
Got lots of comments, you know, saying like, "Oh yeah, we hate you so much." No, like obviously, you know, lots of nice, kind wishes.
Happy birthday, Josh, and stuff.
But I just thought I'd read some of my favourites. So we got.
Did people actually put negative things on it?
No, but just in relation to me and how I am. This one was, so you put, happy birthday, Josh. Someone put, in this case, just birthday will do. Because if you look at me in the picture, I don't look particularly happy.
Oh.
So that's one. For someone who was born in the 18th century, you're looking good, pal.
Yeah, it's true.
Happy 342nd birthday. And then happy 100th birthday, Josh. And someone else put here, looking well for 73, pal.
So it's not just us that say
this. Then they tagged their mates and said, bloke looks like a 73-year-old smackhead.
Fucking hell. Oh, you don't. No, you don't.
So,
they've taken it too far there.
So I had a really nice birthday, and so I thought that could be the little
one in the centre.
73-year-old smacker. That's harsh, that one.
On many levels, I thought. You know, I'm just me.
I mean, yeah, when you think you're 72.
73. It's harsh, that man.
Yeah, not this fucking.
Fucking hell.
So, that's
my. Don't let it get you down.
Has anyone else got a negative?
I've got negative YouTube comments. Leads nicely.
Enjoyed
on.
That, Josh.
Thanks.
So, I've got a few.
Happy 73rd.
But thank you. Whilst we're on Josh, this one is aimed at you.
Oh, great. And hang on, let me just brace myself.
I don't know if this is the one you read because it's a similar ilk, but I don't think it is.
My use of phrasing there.
It's on. I think it's the video of it's us playing Charlemagne at like Big Weekend somewhere.
Okay.
I don't know if we've already said it.
Whose ass was that?
I was moving my mic stand.
Okay. Jack, I thought that was the oldest word.
Jack
English,
Durant. Yes. Is this the one you've read?
I don't know.
It just says, their guitarist looks depressed. I think he needs help.
No, that's a different one.
Fucking
wow. So
it's your face. There we are. Yeah. That's a different
Let me get my file of facts out and I'm going to write all these down and just to get a timeline of how long I've looked miserable.
I mean, you're not depressed.
No, I'm not always of stable mind, but I feel fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's
I think I just give off. I think particularly when I play, you know, I zone out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's one of your cool features when you play.
Well, apparently depression is my angle, according to that guy.
But you're like cool as fuck when you play.
Oh, thanks.
You're not like over the top.
You don't want someone smiling their head off while they're playing, do you?
That's just me.
Especially after I had my teeth fixed.
My glare.
My teeth. Your teeth.
Here's another one. This is on our cover of Harry Styles' Adore You, Live Lounge.
Is this directed at me as well?
No, this is just at us.
Okay.
So, Fee is the name. 1 year ago said, I saw these guys at Leeds. Really shit performance, not going to lie.
Thanks, Fee.
Wait, no, what year was that? Because I've always enjoyed playing Leeds.
Well, she could have seen us at any of the years.
Probably too much. Okay.
What?
Just, I don't know what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Fucking hell. That's a bit harsh, that.
Leticia Habib says, a high school band would sound better than this.
Oh.
Yes.
I mean,
have they got two number ones and a number four? I think not.
Gabrielle Taylor, absolutely rubbish.
Fucking hell.
Has anyone ever commented anything like this? Are these people commenting like 15-year-olds who are just like a bit edgy and a bit like their shit?
I think they're probably Harry Styles fans, aren't they? Someone's put, Claire Seven says, do you remember Harry Styles? This is him now. Feel old yet?
It's like a meme.
Cheers.
Fuck off, Seven.
Seven.
So yeah.
I mean,
great for the esteem. Yeah. definitely going to go home and think about that and, you know, reflect. Maybe cry a little bit. You know, then upload a YouTube
always
video.
Always Live Lounge, isn't it? It's the harsh comments.
Especially, the thing, especially with that Live Lounge thing, it was just you and Josh and then some backing singers. So there's not really, I mean, what can you slag off there? Guitar and singing. It's not like you completely, you know, I understand if it was completely changed of genre or changed of style, but it was literally just, it's just like a fucking acoustic version. So I don't know why they're saying it's so shit, but who cares, eh? I don't give a fuck.
It gives us content, doesn't it? You know?
Yeah. I wanted to bring up an OG thing, story-wise.
No.
I don't know if people have seen, if they've not, because I looked at it the other day, it's got quite little views for how good content it is. Which is the tour diary in Us in America.
Oh, yeah.
Where Miles has, like, the hottest chili sauce and collapses.
The terms. Do you want me to tell the story, are you? Basically, I was pissed, which is always the fucking start of things.
Let me
why
start.
Were you pissed?
Backtrack again.
Because I know Miles jumps Sufis, all that. You know when you were telling the ball story? You missed the big bit where him, the doctor, saying, move your junk.
I'm not good at explaining
things.
Yeah,
but then when I try and remind you stuff, you go, nope, let me say it.
I don't like people that go on too much about insignificant. I'm not saying you do that, but...
said it, haven't you?
go on then.
No, but I'm saying... So went to the Converse party. It was the first time we've
been... South by Southwest.
Yeah, first time
March
being on a plane together.
2015.
We're in Texas in America.
It's the first time we've been on a plane together.
It's all fun. We get in a few gifting sessions.
It's the first time I've been... We went to the Converse party.
Stay fucking hell. That's what it was, wasn't it?
But I went to the Converse party. The first time I've been gifted. And it's fucking...
Boy.
This is classic us. Everyone else on the best behaviour. We were fucking blood because it was free beer. And we...
Jack Daniels,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, broke into the stock room and walked out. Because you got like one pair of Converse each.
Yeah, those never go sorry, Converse.
Yeah, no, we were walking out with like eight fucking pairs of Converse each. Like,
I rang Emily before I was with her and was like, do you want some Converse? Pissed up. It's like, what's all that about?
I remember packing my suitcase and I'm like, oh my, just full of Converse.
Yeah, I had like an extra bag full
so,
of Converse.
So whilst the shoes are being abused, I'm abusing the drink.
No, yeah, and then we were walking back quietly from the Converse party, hands full of fucking Converse bags.
I like hot sauce, hot food. There was a hot sauce shop. Went in.
What was it called again? Do you remember the name of it?
Yeah, Tears of Joy.
Tears of fucking...
Was it?
Tears of Sadness afterwards. Went in. Cheers. Went in. Saw some hot sauces. They had the little desk.
No, they had the gauge of like the hottest to like the mildest, didn't they?
Yeah.
And you were like,
and
what's
I,
that?
I was nailing. Did they put it on I was nailing.
They put it on chili, like before that. Doritos, didn't they?
Before that, I was nailing all these selections of hot sauce and that, you know, from the lower ones, still quite
at
hot.
The time, you were a bit like, I can have hot stuff. I love hot stuff. You know what I mean? Playing a bit Billy Big Boss.
I was pissed, which didn't help. And there was they have the scale and the top bit was like above the scale and it was a chemical extract. So it was literally it was basically like poison.
He's in a coffin, wasn't it?
It was poison, yeah.
They put it on a toothpick,
marketing.
Didn't they?
Yeah. So there's a tiny bit on toothpick.
He went, just have a little bit. You swabbed it all and he was like, whoa.
I'm pretty sure I turned around and smirked, and that's when Tom's wonderful editing cut to me on the floor with my hands over my head, white as a ghost.
Ashen.
The thing is, like, you were bathing fucking gray. Panicking on the street, and my first thing was like, I need to film this.
Do you know what it felt like?
I knew it was good content.
When I was on the floor, and my stomach was like, it was painful. It was painful. My stomach was acidic, poison.
Well, I was going to say, because I've been watching, you know, Hot Shots, if you heard it, it's this like YouTube thing where they interview someone and eat hot wings together. But everyone always at the end says, when they've seen people talk about after, he's like, my ass was so bad afterwards. I was like, obviously because it's fucking really
with
yours, because that was hot.
I can't, do you know what, the pain was so bad, and I remember being on the floor being like, I'm just gonna have to shit myself. Luckily I didn't, because someone got me some milk, combats it, you know what I mean? But it was painful and it was fucking hanging and I hated it. I'll never do it again.
Hello.
Right. Hello.
How are we doing?
Mics, big microphones, and all that.
Fancy.
We've been all posh. Well, like you're on a beach there with the.
The kind of look I was going for.
Anywhere but home.
How's it going?
all right, yeah. Just yeah. been doing this. It's not, I mean, not the ideal year we've had, is it? As you can imagine. Mm. But yeah, we're keeping on.
Keeping busy, aren't we? Right.
Mm.
How are you?
Doing good.
So you I think you're like the busiest person in lockdown.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. lots of notes on pieces of paper and things like that. Post-its everywhere.
I've really enjoyed them though. The listening parties have been amazing.
Yeah. They've been great.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there's been a lot of bands and stuff that I've not really delved in. Well, I feel quite bad saying this, but I think the album, I'm one of them people that I always used to have my iPod on shuffle.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I never really listened to an album as an album.
Yeah.
Do you
know
what I mean? It was only like when I started getting vinyls and stuff that I started listening to albums again. And this sort of redid that.
Reignited it.
Yeah, where it was just like I actually listened to an album as an album. Because it was weird because obviously when we do our albums, you take quite a lot of time to think about the placement
of it. Track listing and the order and all that.
And I don't know why, for some reason, I never listened to music like this, but that's obviously like made me think on when I do listen to artists now, sometimes like, I'll always try and listen to the album in order and things. I think it's quite important. And
yeah,
it is.
No, I think it's definitely people got back into that. And I think so many people commented on that, you know, in the early days of the listening party, for sure, you know, because they hadn't listened to an album in its entirety for so long. And what is this format? You know, it's like almost
alien.
Yeah. But, and I, you know, I mean, I like a playlist shuffle, you know, as much as anybody. But, you know, I think the artistry that goes into making an album is something that you want to show off.
Yeah.
It's good for all the younger generation as well, because they're always criticized for not listening to an album in its entirety. And it gives them an opportunity to kind of, you know, delve into that, which I think is really good.
Yeah, 100%.
So well done, Tim.
I'd just like to say I really enjoyed doing it as well, being part of it,
the
listening party, because it was good for us to kind of reflect on, you know, like the earlier memories of when we did the first album, and, you know, you just think of things you've not thought of for, obviously.
But as a band, I think you, because you're so obsessed with looking forward and like, what's the next thing, and that's, you become obsessed with that, but it is good to reflect and be nostalgic sometimes, isn't it? And remember them times for what they were.
I'm the same. I don't look back either, you know, because I think, you know, you kind of worry about, you know, just about staying in the same place, you know. But to, you know, to go into an album and just share some memories, it's just like, I don't know, it's just like getting your phone out and showing people some photographs of something that you did last year.
Yeah.
even recently, I've started doing that, going on my phone and looking back through photos.
It's the time to self-indulge though, and it's not much else happening.
It is a bit weird, and it is something good to take a bit of time. I think, like, you
it does make you feel a bit sad afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that thing, like you mentioned there, because you're in a band, you're sort of always thinking about the next thing, and you think that about that next thing so early on.
Your life's usually planned out, like, a year and a half in advance normally, isn't it?
Yeah, like you'll be here playing this gig, like, and it's great and amazing.
Record, write, you know, tour. So it's usually the same thing. So in a way, it's broke our chain with what's going on. Probably then,
good, isn't it?
Yeah, like, you've got to turn it into a positive and think, do you know what? Yeah. We might never have ever took a break because we're just a bit like that.
I was going to say, I know what we're like as a band because we all live near each other. We've got this place. We like, do you know what I mean? We sort of treated it as like a 9 to 5. You know what I mean? We'd come in and we'd demo, or we'd even sometimes, you weren't even demoing it, we'd literally just be like, right, we'll paint, or we'll like tidy up. Do you know what I mean?
I think that was more so you. I was happy with not doing that. Okay.
But, he was like just like trying to stay proactive and like trying to stay on top of things all the time. And I think, like Tom said, having this break has actually given us that thing where it's like, you know what?
What do we actually want to do next?
Yeah. And we've actually been able to like plan a few things. And I think just having a bit of a breathe has been.
Yeah. Because we were touring relentlessly, and there was an element of us that felt like we were going through the motions, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, we were still enjoying gigging and stuff, but you know, when you do the same routine, you sound check, you do your gig, you come off stage, you have a few beers in the dressing room, you get on the bus, and then it's just copy and paste. And like Joe said, it was nice to take a step back and kind of reassess.
Were you like the first person to put us on a gig room, wasn't it, before the record deal?
2015,
yeah.
Yes. I remember we got the email. I remember random stuff. I remember we got the email. I was in Black Dog Ballroom under Font Bar, you know, near the Ritz and that area of Manchester.
Yeah.
And I got the email. I remember, obviously, Conrad sent it in. It was like, Charlton and Tim Burgess want you to open up for him. And I was like, yes. Because obviously we were like fans of the band. And, you know, getting, as when you start your band, you want the big support slots because that's how you end up kind of creating your own fan base, innit, off everyone else. So mm-hmm. I just remember being buzzing with it in Black Dog Ballroom. Mm-hmm. And then we did the gigs in the March of 2015. Did two Albert Halls.
How do you remember them dates like that? You can just reel them off like that.
Do you remember that gig we did with you on the Isle of Man?
I was talking about that earlier. It was amazing.
It cropped up last week. It just popped into my head. We did a joint DJ set afterwards. I think you stepped in after us. And it was all a bit strange inside. Like, you know, people were off the faces and shit. And you sort of slid into the DJ booth in your puffer jacket and went, bit mad in here, innit? And then stuck a tune in.
I remember that, actually, yeah.
We are terrible at DJ sets, though.
Yeah. Oh, God.
We
play what we want to hear.
I thought your DJ set was really good.
We do that. We do the classic wedding thing where it's like choruses, turn the music, turn the volume down. Do you know what I mean? Like, give the crowd what they want.
There was a time in, I think it was Birmingham, and we had a DJ set and everyone just got off, and it was like a pretty big one. It was propaganda. I think it was an academy venue, so there was like, how many people were there? It was quite a big
3,000.
3,000 people were there, and it was just me and Joe, and we didn't have any songs left. It was CDs, wasn't it?
We used to bring USB pens, obviously, like everyone does, but our USB pens like got encrypted or something, so we didn't work in them, so we only had this like CD pouch that we brought as like a backup.
It was either the Doors or YMCA, and we were like, yes, put YMCA on. And everyone started doing the dance, you know, the YMCA dance in that. And they used it as like the promo video for their propaganda nights. And it was good.
We salvaged it, yeah.
I think they were just gutted it was the drummer and keyboard player, not Tom. Not something a bit bigger. It's like...
Good time.
There was that night in Gorilla as well when we played Don't Look Back in Anger last tune and it stuck on emergency loop. So you had no, don't look back, don't look back. He's like, this is a good remix. And then we just fucked off to pull the pens out and then, you know...
Yeah, we're awful at DJs.
Wow.
But yeah, they were great times then. Like them tours and that, like early. It was like the first, I think.
The easiest thing ever being the opening slot, the support act, isn't it? You turn up, sound check for about 20 minutes, and then you're done by 8 o'clock. You just enjoy your night.
Yeah, no, it's good. And you can be home pretty quick if you want to go home or whatever.
Oh, no, for us.
First in the queue at a park.
Yeah, I was going to say it was crack open the beers and getting the crowd for us, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Good times.
Oh, no,
they were really, really good times. So should we get, we're doing this like little feature. I'm sure you've been brief, but where you just pick five of your favourite or five of your favourite for now.
Manchester favourite songs.
Yeah.
There'd have to be a caveat that, this changes obviously every day, but today is a Friday. It's a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked someone to pick like 10 songs once and they said that they could only pick 100. And I said, no, you got to do 10. And it's like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. And you have to try, you know. So I tried to do 5 and I succeeded, you know, because
there's a lot to choose from.
That was a task. So,
I think when I think about what I'd pick, I sort of pick a song with them and their artist, and then like I stay on that artist for ages and go, oh, but what about that one? Oh, no, but that one.
I feel like you've got to do the first thing that comes to your head and just stick with it.
Like sometimes I'm like, I could just pick 5 from this one artist. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I'm just like, it is definitely a good challenge.
What's your first pick?
Okay, well, it's going to be a bit hard. Okay, so Something Wicked This Way Comes by Barry Adamson. And Barry was in a band called Magazine, but he kind of writes amazing sort of film stuff, really. This is from an album called Oedipus, Shmeedipus. But it was, I first heard it in a David Lynch film called Lost Highway. And I saw it at the Corner House in Manchester. So, it was kind of it felt good. And to hear this song, where it was probably made. I don't know whether he still lives there or not, but it was born in Moss Side. And it's such an amazing song. I urge you, if you've not heard it, to check it out.
Yeah, no, I've never heard it.
You know, the band The Blinders, they've got a song called Something Wicked This Way Comes, but I don't know if it's just a coincidence.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's a pretty...
It's an obscure name, which makes you think, could it be a cover?
Yeah.
Yes,
but it's on their album. But I'll check out the one you've said and see if it is. But
it's just, I mean, it's such a dark film, and the song's quite, yeah, I don't really, it's got like a sort of funk thing going on really, but it's in a dark scene, so yeah, it's kind yeah. of fun. It's quite exciting really, and
right.
Yeah, that really
number one.
I'm gonna say the good corner choice. The corner house as well.
Yeah. Oh,
God, miss that.
Yeah.
You know.
Miss all that. Miss going to the cinema.
Oh yeah. That's I mean it's so exciting to see a David Lynch film anyway, but to go and see it in somewhere like the corner house, it's great.
Is it on a record called
Oedipus Schmoedipus.
Quite like that.
A listening party with him, which is, yeah, it's pretty great, you know. I mean, the whole album's great, but this particular track, just because, you know, there's so much more to it.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out.
And then, yeah, add some more.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Number two.
It's a proper list. Not just off the top of my head, you know, I've thought about it. Okay, so, The Fall? Do you like The Fall?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good Prestwich band, really, I suppose you could call them. Hit the North, because why not?
Self-explanatory.
Yeah,
I love all the eras of The Fall, but the era when Brix was in the band kind of like, just has something for me. Whether it's probably the time that I was, you know, most, you know, I was like 16, really. So for me, that's like the best time to ever hear music. Mm.
When was that, like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. So, you know, it's last year, you know. yeah, Forever 16, you know. Yes, really. Could be any Fall song, but Brix era, she did six albums with him. And
do you know Ding, who used to play in The Fall?
Simon Archer is his full name.
I don't know.
No.
He played with PJ Harvey, then he played with The Fall.
No, I think Ding didn't play. I think he played with The Fall like just like very like later days, but he's actually their producer.
Yeah,
he produced them. Yeah. He didn't play with them. He was like
he worked with Cabbage a lot, and they're big fans of The Fall.
Oh yeah, so, you can tell actually. They have kind of like similar.
Love that. What's that Cabbage lyric actually? It's like, and it says something like it's talking about streets of Manchester. And it says, like, everyone's been in The Fall or something like that. It's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're talking about people, it's a good lyric. It makes me laugh. But, yeah, Tom said, yeah, we've got a guy who works for us. He's our keyboard tech, and he's produced The Fall. And he was, like, he was a massive fan. But he's great to sort of sit down with on a tour.
He's got loads of stories.
Yeah, like, all the stories you want to hear. Did you ever meet any of The Fall, like Mark E. Smith or anything like that?
Met him a few times. It was... I was always a big fan, and in 1990, I was invited to their launch party, and I'd never been to anything kind of, you know, anything remotely pop starry or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it was a good call, like a Fall listening party, you know, something that I always dreamed of going to. So I turned up, and I was the first there, apart from Mark E. Smith, who was sat in the back. and we just got chatting, and it was like, oh, you're that band from Cheshire, right?
it sounds like that's exactly how you'd want it to go. Do you know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. And he was always like that. It was always kind of like it was always really complimentary and really lovely. But you know, I hear there's a grouchy element to his personality as well, but.
Aren't we all? Yeah. how big were you guys in 1990 then, Tim, to get a grip? I knew, like, that's the year the only one I know come out, innit?
Yeah, that was the year the only one I know came out. So, I mean, you know, but...
Did that catapult it?
You know, you go to everything, don't you? I mean, I was out every single night and day as well, you know. I couldn't get enough. But it was something that I really wanted to go to because, you know, I was... 22 when I came out, but I've loved The Fall since I was, you know, 14 or 15, so it's a long time.
One of them moments where you're meeting someone you've been a big fan of.
Yeah, and just great.
I know how...
But you're going to say the same thing as me.
The film...
Jimmy Grimble.
No, there's only one Jimmy Grimble.
So
your song is in that film. Yeah. It's in the opening scene, actually. But I was obsessed with that film, obviously being a young lad, and I was a Man City fan. I fucking loved that tune, like, from being like I would have been, it came out 99, so I'd have been, I'm born in 90, I was seven, and I loved it then. I remember, you know, when a song sticks with you, and it's because of that film. But obviously, you have no concept of when things are released. So as I got older and became a nerd and was like researching on Wikipedia, I was like, oh, fuck, that tune came out in 1990. So it'd already been out like nine years by this point. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? When you kind of, when you're like seven, you don't have any grasp of, you know, this song's already been out for years.
That film's got a lot.
It's a good introduction to Manchester music, wasn't it? You got like,
I was going
to
say, yeah.
Chemical Brothers, EMF, you know, people like that.
But yeah, that was just, thought I'd mention that. I was like,
good.
How I got into your band, really.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's like a different avenue, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Just a match. It's both, you're obsessed with football and starting to get into music, and just your worlds meet, don't you?
Yeah, I don't even know how big that film is, like, really.
No, it's not really.
That's
not
what
that
I mean,
big.
Yeah, when you think about it, it's like,
I've heard of it.
Yeah, well, you're in it.
Do you follow football at all, Tim?
Yeah, I'm a United fan.
it's good to talk about.
You know, I'm an armchair fan. You know, I very rarely go to the games. But, but I always watch the game.
Yeah,
I think at that moment, that's been one of the things that I've been like absolutely loved.
It's been a fun season this
year.
Especially with there's not much else to do. Like my partner is like
fiance.
he hates the word fiance, so we keep winding him up.
Oh yeah,
but she is. she's like, because obviously there's more games on, isn't there? Because they like everything's been knocked back from like coronavirus. She's like, why is there a fucking two games on every week? Like, and why do you want to watch every single game? I'm like, because there's nothing else to do. Yeah. I'm watching the football.
I love it. It's like, say, it's, and I
it's
love
every
that.
Night, isn't it? Yeah. It is.
I love the way it's every like Wednesday and Saturday. It's just fun. And it's like, oh, get in. It's Wednesday. Like, do you want to get a beer out?
Anyway,
what's your third choice?
Oh.
Sorry. Take off guard then.
No, it's all right. It's like, but for some reason, my phone doesn't recognise my face. The other two,
yeah. It's Stephen Morris and Gillian Gilbert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I can mention Joy Division and New Order, I suppose. But, the other two, I mean, it's kind of funny. Similar to The Fall, been a big New Order fan as long as I can remember, and used to follow them around the country and stuff like that. And Hookie and Bernard had done solo albums, and then Gillian and Stephen came out with the other two. And the track I'm choosing is Tasty Fish. And apparently, they in their first thoughts about making an album, they wanted Kim Wilde to sing.
Wow.
I don't know whether they ever got in contact with her or not, but I think it's quite a well-known story, so I'm not just letting the cat out of the bag now 20 years later. But it's just good. And you know, obviously Joy Division, seminal, the creators of Manchester music probably, although don't tell 10cc that. But or the Bee Gees,
all the Hollies,
honorable mentions too. And the Hollies, you know for me it all started with Joy Division.
They've come up quite a lot with the other guests, like, because I think they are like so important.
Well, I suppose that new, the wave of Manchester music that we all kind of know, like probably like 1980s onwards, it's kind of like they're like the top, they're like the start of it, aren't they? Like you said, and then it kind of filters down from there, is what people kind of get into from being a teenager.
It's what they did with their you know, fame, if you can call it that, and their money. You know, they put it into a club that was like the best thing about going out. For me, when I was younger, the Hacienda, and then the whole thing around Joy Division, with how the band sort of like stopped being a band, and then becoming New Order, which, you know, was just amazing, really.
Yeah, like that's what it's like. The story behind them is so like,
yeah,
and it's not just the story of a band, like you said, then, you know, like the Hacienda, which then opened up a whole other world of this. So many other bands to be influenced by. Yourself probably included in that. Do you know what I mean?
100%. You know, I was, I mean, you know, for me though, all of that. Tony Wilson was involved in all that, and Rob Gretton, and all these people that were just like amazing characters in Manchester who just kind of helped with the myth, really, I suppose. So obviously Joy Division, Atmosphere, Love Will Tear Us Apart, Transmission, all amazing songs. I mean, yeah, that goes without saying. But everything around it as well, and New Order, Blue Monday, and all that, and you know, just incredible stuff.
I was introduced to a track yesterday, Tim, by our manager, Conrad. It was, I think it was a track called Reach for Love by Marcel King.
Yeah,
and I found
song.
Out he was in a band called Sweet Sensation, which was like Manchester's answer to the Jackson Five. And Bernard Sumner produced that song, didn't he?
That's right, yeah.
And I thought, I was just playing it in the car yesterday, I thought, why have I never heard this tune? It should have done so much better.
I mean, I think it was a Hacienda song. So it was, you know, it was kind of known for people who were going to the clubs, and it's got a very, it kind of sounds like quite like Michael Jackson in a lot of ways.
Definitely.
It's got all the great traits of a dance floor smash. And Bernard did a lot of production around that time, 52nd Street and Marcel and Quando Quango and Happy Mondays and all that kind of stuff. So it's, you know, it's all ingrained really in amazing Manchesterness.
Yeah. I'm always like, I wish I was born.
Imagine being around then.
Yeah, like the Hacienda time. Like, it's just like, you know, obviously growing
up. The way
up,
people like, speak about it is like, they're like nostalgia, everyone knows what they're talking about, but I haven't got a fucking clue. You've seen the obviously you've seen the documentaries, you see all these mad videos of people fucking like dancing and that, and it's like, I just wish I could have at least just for one night just been there.
So do you, the other people, Tasty Fish, the track that you've chosen, we've gone on a tangent here, but is there any reason you picked that track? Or is it just one you just really, really like? Is it?
Well, it's one that I played a lot. You know, I mean, I was always really interested in the offshoots of New Order because I wanted New Order, but I was very happy to get their soul. And when it came out, you know, I mean, how unassuming in lots of ways Stephen and Gillian are. They just put this record out and there's a couple of interviews and the song came out and it was like, oh, it sounds like New Order. It's great. and the video was really fun as well. And I don't know. It's just, well, yeah. I mean, it could on any day be Atmosphere or Getting Away With It or Confusion or whatever. But, you know, why not Tasty Fish? Why not Stephen and Gillian? They're great.
The other two just the boss name as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so really good.
It's like, you know, your books, Timbuktu, and just like...
Oh, yeah, the names are just absolutely class.
Just works, doesn't it?
It's a great name, the other two. Yeah.
So we'll go on to the...
Four.
You can't have bands from Stockport, that's right, isn't it?
Oh, no, that's not.
You can have us.
Well, you know, you would have been. But... I'm now going to go with A Certain Ratio because, again, you know, I mean, they inspired the Happy Mondays, who, you know, could have been in there on any other day. I remember meeting Mark Day in 1990 and he said, I just want to sound like the guitarist out of A Certain Ratio.
I met Dojo, you know, the drummer, Donald.
Donald, of course.
I met him like, not long ago and like, got a chatting to him. And,
Stockport, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So where my drums get made, British Drum Co., which I know you've got a little thing with, like they, I was just down at their fact, it was quite a while, it must have been like 2 years ago now. And I just sort of bumped into him and me and him just hit it off, you know, really well. Like, and I was having such a good conversation and chewy's it. Like he's a drummer. Do you know what I mean? Like, I
see, he's a legend.
Oh yeah, he is. He's just like, and there's so many people speak so highly of him.
Yeah.
Do you know what
I
mean? Like, and he's one of them people that's like, he just sort of blows my head, you know, and he goes into like, I love these little videos. For a bit, he started doing videos with like samples and sample pads, but like sort of drumming it. He's just like, the guy's just.
Is Donald related to Derek?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't.
Who, he works with you, Derek, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Ah, is he? Yeah. I didn't know.
Bass player.
Ah, right. Yeah. I know Derek, but I didn't know they were related. Never put two and two together.
They're brothers. And I think Derek texts for them as well now and again, but. Derek was in a band called 52nd Street, who Bernard produced as well, that's another story. But anyway,
Which song have you picked?
Your Blue Eyes, because my little boy really likes that song. So, Yeah, and why not mention him? Because he's got good taste, he's very young, but The Fall and A Certain Ratio were bands that I play, and, you know, there's lots of bands that I play at home, and no response.
Yeah.
You know, Your Blue Eyes by A Certain Ratio. Again, Daddy. Again.
Yeah.
again. It's like one of them. And it's like, you know, and it's like, and I love that song as well, but not as much as I do now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got like another, it's got like a...
But it drummed into me. But you know, I've loved A Certain Ratio all my life, again. But then, you know, Buzzcocks, I didn't choose them, you know. But anyway, it's just today, isn't it? So
yeah,
exactly. Yeah, if we got you on another day, you would have had another different five tunes, like.
Yeah, exactly, and you know, and it's quite nice to do something that people don't expect as well, I suppose. Or bring a band into the, you know, put them in the frame.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. Well, I think the thing with Manchester music as well is there's so many times, you know what I mean? Like if you look up a band, you'd be like, oh, I didn't know they were from Manchester. Or, do you know what I mean? Like there's the obvious ones like the Oasis, Stone Roses, the Smiths. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just associate and you know, like, but I think there's so many ones where you are like, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't, do you know what I mean? I think it's so important for people to have like that. I don't know. I think it means like, Comrade was saying, like there's Elton John's book, and people used to say like London was like the place to be and stuff like that. And I think Elton John says in his book, doesn't he? He goes, I think it was Manchester. Do you know what I mean? Like Manchester had all these like amazing artists, and like, I mean, like even way back when we were talking then, do you know what I mean? Like it's proper important to have them, like them bands. I think that's like what you're saying there. Like, do you know what I mean? If you, you know what I mean? Even later on in the afternoon, if you asked the same question, do you know what I mean? You probably come up with completely different answers like to your mood. Do you know what I mean? Cause even like the broad horizons of the genres that it passes through, you know what I mean? It's class.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, for some people, this album by Certain Ratio was their most commercial album to date. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they'd actually signed to a major label on this record. But, you know, I really like their first stuff, which was produced by Martin Hanna, who's another legendary Manc, although he did a lot of his work in Stockport as well. You know, so it's good to see someone grow, you know, and get to a point where they become accepted by the masses and stuff like that, and this was that one of them albums. So, you know, I think their first album that got accepted by the masses.
Yeah. I need to listen to more A Certain Ratio.
Did you ever record in Stockport?
I did at Strawberry.
Did you? What year was that?
We did the night shift in 1989 for Indian Rope that came out in January 90. So, so we worked through the night there, and then we mixed a lot of Some Friendly there as well. We mixed The Only One I Know there. We recorded it at Windings, mixed it at Strawberry, and a song called Then as well that we did.
It depresses me though when you go past the building in Strawberry Studios. Yeah. Obviously, it's just not there anymore. Do you know what I mean?
It's just offices now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sign's still there, but that's about it.
Yeah, I think that's one thing we'd love to do one day. One day in the future, we'll sort of make some sort of Strawberry Studios again in Stockport. Do you know what I mean?
It's like, people go past.
The pub opposite, is that still open?
The pub opposite? Wallet?
No.
It's got knocked down, didn't it?
It's been knocked down, yeah.
Has it?
Yeah, do you know the pub where the green is
just
now?
Grass. No, the just... one next to it, the Waterloo.
Oh, is that the pub? Yeah, the Waterloo. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
That's boarded up.
Is that still there then, or is it gone?
It's still there, but it's not open, yeah.
It's not open, no.
But there's so many interesting stories over the years, like when Paul McCartney was recording his brother there, I think it was the Scaffold or something like that.
Yeah.
He looked out of the window, and there's a bus stop outside, and he noticed it was lashing it down with rain. He saw a couple there, and he went out with an acoustic guitar and sang them All My Loving. I think that's just like people going past will never ever know that. And it exists.
Is that true? You
know? Yeah, it's true.
Mad.
Fucking hell, that's mental.
The guy who created the museum, the curator, he told us about it when we went down there.
Fucking
hell. So many amazing Paul McCartney stories about
like,
guitar out and starting singing, you know, an old Beatles song just like to freak. I'm sure he does it to freak you out, but... why wouldn't he? You know, I mean, it's like, I've been working with Tim Pope a lot lately, and he said that he just got off a plane and he was about to do a video of Paul McCartney, or for Paul McCartney, but he was knackered, so he was lying down outside the house because it was quite early and stuff. And then he kind of woke up and looked up, and there's this fella playing All My Loving. Or I saw her standing there, sorry. I saw her standing there. And he's like, all right, do you want to come and meet the band? And he's like, yeah, all right, I will.
That is absolutely, that, you can't imagine. Yeah.
I'd love to meet him, you know.
He did a listening party for you, didn't he?
He did.
How did that come about? Just get in touch? Asking for a friend.
When the album was announced, I posted it. You know, it'd be great for a listening party.
Yeah.
And a few people picked up on it and it got shared quite a lot.
Yeah.
But then Two Thumbs Up went up about 6 weeks later. And then I got a phone call saying that it was on.
Wow. Amazing. The power of social media.
Well, the McCartney Thumbs Up was...
That's the one. That's the key.
So good, that.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But yeah. Not Manchester.
No. Close, but yeah, not quite.
We've gone off on a tangent. I mean, the Stockport link with Strawberry too. Yeah. Something there. There's something there.
Yeah.
What's the final choice you got, Tim?
Well, it's actually worked out really well because I'm going to say 10cc.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The first time we've had 10cc.
Yep, first edition.
First edition, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, I managed to get Kevin to do two listening parties. Kevin Godley.
Yeah.
And he's an amazing guy. I've known him for a long time anyway because he did some videos for the Charlatans.
Yeah.
But I've heard some 10cc over the years, but only really kind of started getting into them recently. And just amazing. Sheet Music is the album for me, and the track Somewhere in Hollywood just really strikes a chord for me. I lived in Hollywood myself for 12 years, and you know that they're a Manchester band just connects the two things. So, and Strawberry Studios, which we just talked about, and Stockport. So yeah. There we are. What a way to finish.
Going to say 10cc.
Glad someone's chosen 10cc.
Yeah, they're a great band, aren't they?
Yeah,
you can look through and it's just like, again, so many different like elements to.
Didn't he write Bus Stop,
Graham Gouldman.
Oh, yeah, Graham Gouldman, yeah.
And he's... Bus Stop for the Hollies.
And
the Bus Stop's
For
bus...
Your Love.
Really?
Well, we've got him a listening party soon too, which is good.
Oh, great.
Solo album.
Great choices.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, really good choices. I don't think none of them have been doubled up either.
No.
She's always a plus.
Good. You know, I thought, obviously, notable mentions go to everyone that we all know and love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Smiths, obviously.
100%, yeah. There's so many of them. I think a lot of people start this, say it like, I'm not going to pick the obvious ones. Do you know what I mean? It's like, we'll probably get to the end of it and like do all these guests. Yeah, and exactly. And none of the huge ones will be picked. Like, which is good, because I think at the end of it, we're probably going to pick our five and we'll just be able to get all them ones.
One each. Yeah. No, that makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, that's how we do ours.
I thought, yeah. So, thank you very much. Thanks for doing it.
Yeah, thanks, Tim.
Cheers. And thanks for saving lockdown.
So I've seen this thing online, right? And I think it's yourself, and I don't know if it's other bands, but it's definitely yourself. It's been made into like a video game thing. I just wanted to ask about it. What's all that about then?
Well, it's like an 8-bit video arcade. It's just gone up on the NME now, but, it's like, I don't know, I kind of trawl through the video world and see, you know, the band and then go to, you know, there's lots of Charlatan sounds and, oh, here we go. It's a little. I don't know if you can see it, but.
Ah, yeah,
just
right.
Like the Sonic. It's like Sonic the Hedgehog version of.
Yeah.
That's Clav of.
Made.
We're going to have guests. Yeah.
Yeah, it's my scene that I once made an 8-bit version of one of our really, really early songs, and it took me ages because I had to put every single note in, all the drums, all the bass and stuff. So it's a time-consuming task, but they do sound good at the end.
Where is it? Where is that?
It's on an email somewhere, buried from years ago.
We're going to have to find that and send it over.
Yeah, I'm into that, though. It's good stuff.
Oh, good.
You have to make us and get us on it.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Nice one, Tim.
Cheers for coming on.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Appreciate it. And nice to see you. Hopefully it's not too long till we can all be somewhere again.
In a real venue.
We've come so far.
Yeah, we have.
All right.
Nice one. See you later. Man.
Cheers.
Nice see you in a bit.
Thank you.
Bye.
I have to speak another language in this one, so I'm not very good at stuff like that.
Oh my God.
Here we go. Bullshit anyway, already.
I'm not very good at reading, am I? Anyway. In Brazil, they call Brazil nuts. Notas de Naca, which is, means translates to nations nuts.
Not not what?
Notas de Naca. Naca.
I think so, yeah.
Notas de Naca.
Notas de Naca.
Yeah, I think so.
But what, wait.
N-A, C with like a little squiggly thing at the bottom.
Read it again.
With like an A with a wiggly thing at the top. And I don't know.
Explain again.
That's what I'm saying, Naca. So they, basically, Brazil nuts, but in Brazil, they call them nation nuts. Notas. Notas. Notas de Naca.
You could have made... Now, this is when you get triple fucking bluff there, because you could have just made that up without the little fucking Brazil bit. But then we could have thought that you couldn't have made the Brazil bit up, but then you actually have. So you actually are lying.
There's a thing called Brazil nuts.
Yeah, I know, but she could have just Googled that. I don't know. I don't know anymore.
I guess it...
Like I say, don't judge me on the way.
So it makes sense as a translation, I suppose.
Are you spelling they're in Brazil, they're not saying Brazil nuts. So it's, I get it.
Are you spelling notas?
N-O-T-A-S. I'd say don't like use that as my...
No, there's a theory behind this.
N-O-Z-E-S.
Oh, right. I'm not going to say it.
Notas. I'm fucking shit at like different, but yeah, they go, basically they don't call them.
I don't know, man.
They don't call them Brazil nuts. Call them nation.
It's feasible, but it's also could just very well been a cleverly.
What language do they speak in Brazil? Is it Spanish?
Portuguese.
Portuguese. Yeah. And what's the? Do they just call Brazil Brazil?
Well, yeah, but we don't. Do you know what I mean? Like it's their nation, isn't it?
Well, they're saying nation, not Brazil. It
translates like obviously, we'd probably call nation. Them something
different. But we don't call.
That's what we wouldn't say. That sounds stupid. But it's like when when you hear French translations, they put colours in front of like different words, don't they? Don't explain things.
De means of, doesn't it?
It's like us saying.
So that de. It's like actually, I don't fucking know shit like that. So don't fucking.
Do you think he's lying,
Joe? It's like us saying, nation breakfast tea. You know, sort of English breakfast
but
tea.
It's our language, though, isn't it? It's our language.
Yeah, it's our.
We call them Brazil nuts because that's English, isn't it?
We just call it tea, don't we? We don't say, like, you know, when you get tea here, you don't say, I'll have English breakfast. In America.
Why don't they just call them nuts?
It's quite believable.
It's not just one nut, is it?
I think he's lying.
Do you think I'm lying?
I think he's lying. We'll have to split.
I think you're telling the truth there,
Josh.
Because of the day.
But he could have just translated it and got the de. I'll say true for this one because I said lie last time.
It'd be nice if we got a prize if we got it right.
I'm not bringing prizes in.
It's quite believable. Nations nuts, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'd be more.
It does sound funny. English breakfast tea is a good example.
Let's just say,
I say what Miles said. You could just. It's very believable.
You don't go in there to fucking food for go. Hello, I'll have an English breakfast.
No,
tea
but if you're in like a fancy America, country place, then you have to because they've got like.
Yeah, they've got other ones. But if you're in America, do you know what I mean?
Just tell me what the truth is.
Yeah, I've said true just for this time.
I made it up.
Fucking knew it.
So I was right when I said you triple bluffed us.
Fair play though. Fair play. Did you just translate it?
Yeah. How did you come up with that also? One?
I can't remember. I think it was tea. I was watching something. Someone said I'll have English breakfast, and I thought, isn't it weird? Like, do you know what I mean? We just say tea. And I thought, what else is similar? So I was like, Brazil nuts.
Oh, so I was right.
They just call Brazil, like, do you know what I mean? So I was like, they're not going to call. I wonder if they, do you know what? It might actually be true because I'm not actually checked if they did what they do call them. I don't think they'll call them nations.
It's probably
nations
a mad Latin name.
It's been a good one. Yeah. It's been nice to be here.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Bye. Fucking hell. I don't want that to become the new thing, you know.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.